in 2 Chronicles, there's 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, but in actuality, they're just one book. The reason for them separating them, I don't want to go into it. It'll take too much time. It's a possibility I'm not going to finish this week, because I'm not going to rush through it.
Amen.
I hope you have a pen and paper so you can take some notes. Amen.
Amen.
This is going to be our Thanksgiving Day message. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Chronicles, God is doing some wonderful things. But you'll find out that in God doing what he's doing, they have to do what they have to do.
Right.
Come on now.
In the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, we're going to read some of the very first verse. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying," it says, "the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the what?
Sacrifices.
And the glory of the Lord filled the house."
Yes.
How many want the glory of God to fill your house?
Amen.
Well, you better start making yourself a sacrifice. There ain't going to be no fire if there is no sacrifice.
Come on now.
Amen.
We no longer use bulls, goats, pigs, and had a preacher told you long ago, a preacher got mad at me because he was talking about laying down the fleece. I said, well, what do you need Jesus for?
Yeah. Mm.
He was mad at me for a while, Sister Brian. Didn't hurt my feelings much, though. The fire came down from heaven. Go down to the 8th verse. Hallelujah. Somebody say the number 8.
Amen.
How many knows what the number 8 means or denotes? It denotes new beginnings, regeneration. There was a regeneration going on in the house of God.
Amen.
But somebody's got to step up and create an atmosphere for that regeneration.
Say that.
It's time that we as saints of God begin to create an atmosphere for our own regeneration.
Yeah.
Because if we don't regenerate, we can't help others regenerate.
Amen.
And we have forgotten that there is a reason that God saved us. There's a reason that he chose us. There's a reason he separated us. And there is a reason that he sanctified us. And it's not to be proud and uppity, but it's to show the mercies of God towards people that need to understand that Jesus is a life giver.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
In the 8th verse, it says, "Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast of 7 days. And all Israel," say, well, it says at the same time, at the same time what? Verse 7 says, "Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. So at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a very great congregation from the entering of Hamath until the river of Egypt." I found something fascinating in there the other day when I was looking at this passage. When I looked at the number of cattle and the number of sheep that he sacrificed, it wasn't so much the number of the animals. What it was the power of God that came down and burnt them. Oh, Lord. I got too much going on up in here. And in the 8th day, there's that number 8 again. The feast was 7 days. We know what 7 represents. And then in the 8th day, they made a what? A solemn assembly. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, solemn.
Solemn.
That means that they put all their indifferences aside and came together for
now.
The kingdom of God.
Come on now.
A solemn assembly. They became they came together and began to meet, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. and on the third, on the 3rd and the 20th day of the 7th month. Here you have 2, 3, 2, and 7. He sent the people away. Amen. He sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto them, showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. God is trying to let you know that he doesn't care who you are or what you represent. If you sacrifice yourself to him, he will come forth for you.
Yeah.
He will call you his people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I listen to people all the time. I hear people talk about God this and God that. Nobody is talking about Jesus. My mic, my battery must be getting low. Talking about Jesus. So here they are, 3:20th day of the 7th month. He sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in their hearts, for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of what?
Sacrifice.
If I shut heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if what? My people, which are what? Called by my what? Name, shall do what? Humble themselves and do what? Pray and do what? Seek my what? Faith and do what? Turn from their what? Wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their what? Sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And what? Mine eyes and mine heart shall be there what? Perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk where? Before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my what? My judgment. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye do what? Turn away what? From and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I what? Have set before you, and shall go and do what? Serve other gods and worship them. Then will I do what? Pluck them up by the what? Roots out of the what? My land, which I have what? Given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I do what? Cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And what? This house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook what? The Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold unto other gods, and did what? Worship them, and did what? Serve them. Therefore he has brought all this what? Evil upon them. Come on, put your hands together.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's time to clean house.
Amen. All
right. Time to clean up.
Yes, 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 yes.
Also, go to the earth, 8th verse. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, or the feast 7 days, or it was a festival that they were having amongst the people. The word kept is translated accomplished. There are things in our life we need to accomplish.
That's right.
Yep, it's there. Oh, you try to stop me from making
it. Well, glory. Goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Where was it? Thank you very much. Amen. I was wondering. So he kept, or he accomplished the feast or the festival for 7 days, and what? All Israel with him. Amen. Always they have, it's time for the people of God to come together.
Amen.
Stop bragging about whose church is the greatest, who has the smartest pastor, whose word is the most powerful, and come together and realize that God is trying to establish himself in a body of believers that will mind the same principles and speak the same things. If we do that, we can honor him the way we're supposed to honor him in love.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. My goodness. And as he kept, or he accomplished it, the very great congregation, amen, from the entering into the Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, that made a solemn assembly. We talked about that, how they all came together. And it wants you to know that it was a ton of them. It was a lot of them. I didn't research how many of them was, because when it said there was a great congregation, the word great accomplished all of that. It lets you know that there was thousands of them. But what it's telling us is that what Solomon had put together to do was he infected the minds of the people. So as Nehemiah said, the people now had a mind to work. And so they all come together to accomplish what God had established in his spirit. And so on the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the what? The dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Meaning that they kept that, or they accomplished that together as a unit without breaking rank, meaning there was nobody standing up saying, well, he's not doing that right. Well, I didn't like the way he prophesied, or I didn't like the way he laid hands, or I don't like the way she danced. None of that. Everybody put their differences aside to accomplish one thing. It's time for the church to come together. Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholic, any kind, I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's time for us to come together and unite as a full and one body of believers. You say, well, how is that possible? The Catholic believe one way, the Baptists teach another thing, Presbyterians teach something else, everybody's teaching something else. I got news for you. Even them Jehovah Witnesses, they're not going to escape it either.
Right.
Any place there is a certain type of word or a part of God's word, God has the ability to transform their mind. Amen. Glory to God. And on the what? 3rd and 20th day of the 7th month. How many days is that, Pastor Keith? 23 days. Of the 7th month. He said, and what month was that?
July.
The 7th month. July the 23rd. Amen. I'm not giving y'all no number. You know how mine think. Keep your mind in here. Come on in. Stay with me. He sent the people away into their what? Into their abodes. They were glad and merry in their hearts. The heart is translated into Hebrew, their will or their intelligence. The intellect or the center of everything, the center of their being. That means they were so excited about what they had come together and accomplished. There was a reason they were excited, because all of them had something else going on in their lives. All of them had things they were experiencing in their own lives. But they had the ability through God and through the Word of God to put all those things aside to come together to do one commitment. You'd be excited too. If we all come together and we, all of our differences and all of our problems and situations, we've left them at the altar and we come together in fellowship and in worship. Can you imagine the power of God that would fill this place? The upper room wouldn't have nothing. And it's not going to have nothing on what God is about to establish in his body.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen. All right, son. You're done, right? Okay. He said to me.
What I have arranged, what I have planned, what I have set into motion, what I have predestinated and ordained, no man can tear down, no man can change. But yeah, I am God, and there's none else but me, said God. And yea, no man can come into my kingdom unless I draw him or call him. And yea, when he come, yea, I shall instruct him to do according to my will, said God. So lift me up and praise me. Be not afraid and be not dismayed at the things that I'm doing in your life. But yea, I have arranged them, and yea, I shall instruct them, and I shall direct them. And yea, you shall do accordingly. And when you do accordingly as I direct you, said God, yea, the victory shall be won in your life, holy and acceptable within my eyes, said God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were merry in not just in their flesh, but in their intellect, because they saw God do something fabulous in their midst. For the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. It says, thus, so Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and he finished the king's house. And all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Or you can read that in his house, in the house of the Lord. Either way you want to admit, you want to say it. What he's saying here, what they're trying to let you know, they're trying to let you know that the power of God was in his life in such a fabulous way that whatever he needed in his house, he recognized that it had to be in the house of the God also. Whatever was in the house of God, he recognized that it needed to be in his house also. What is he saying? There's got to be an altar, not just in the church house, but there's got to be an altar in your house. You say, well, Pastor Gardner, I don't know how to build an altar. I don't know what to do. You are the altar. You don't have to build nothing. In most cases, we need to tear down.
Come on now.
Amen. Oh, so he finished the house, and it was good in his spirit. Hallelujah. And he said to himself, this is a good thing. Almost like God said, out on the seventh day, God said, this is a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah, praise. Amen. So, Solomon's heart to make it in the house of the Lord and in his own house, it says what he did, what? He prosperously effected. The word effected here doesn't mean to change. It means to push forward. Isn't that something? It's important that we understand that this word was not written in English. It was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. There is no way on this green earth that you will ever really understand what the Bible is saying if you don't know what the original writings say.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When you look at it and you use the Webster and you use these different books and you commentaries and you look at this stuff and it's telling you one thing, but it's not what God is saying. Amen. God is saying what his original word said. Because see, this word was written by, it's called the Masoret Code. Amen. It's the original writing. It's a code that God hid deep in his scriptures that would hide them from flesh. But the Bible says in the epistles, it says, but now it is being made known that we, the saints of God, who call upon him and who are called by his name, may know those things which were once hid, but now are being known. Why? So that we can understand who we are in God and what our standing is in him. Most folks don't know who they are or what they're standing in God because they don't commune with God. I'm not going to finish this today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says he what? He prosperously affected. Pastor Keyes was teaching some years ago, and he made this statement, and it blew me away. He was teaching, and he made the statement. He says, the word of God has an uncanny ability to produce and make an effect of what it is. Amen. What he was saying was, the word of God is so strong and so powerful, it has the ability to cause the spirit of the living God to produce an effect in your life that will enhance your life, that will strengthen your life, that will bring you to a place in God where you can see those things that are not as though they are. If you can see them, then you can speak of them.
Amen.
Produces an effect. So he prosperously. When we think of prosperous, what do we think about? Money. Nice cars. Beautiful homes. Lovely clothes. What it's saying here, he prosperously affected it because he stood on the scripture. Prosper here doesn't have to do with being so much as being blessed, but prosperously here has to do with prosperity.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
It has to do with the inner strength.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So it's saying he didn't just affect the house of God, but he didn't affect his house, but he affected the whole house.
Amen.
That means he affected what? The people of God.
Amen.
Your life is supposed to affect people that you come in contact with.
Amen.
Say that.
And whether you realize it or not, it does. Either for the good or to the bad.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm moving along here. Solomon's heart to make it in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prosperously affected. So that meant whatever was going on in the house of God, my God, it had to go on in his house too.
Right.
He was saying he couldn't live one way in the house of God and then live another way in his house.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
Glory.
Come on now.
Glory.
That's why he mentioned both houses.
Yes. Amen.
He was, what he was saying was what Paul said in the book of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew and the Gentile.
Amen.
So he was saying that whatever is going on in the house of God, it can go on in my house too. And what's going on in my house, I'm not ashamed of it because my house represents his house.
Right.
Jesus said, when you see me,
yes.
All right.
Amen.
And when you see my father, what he was saying, me and my father's house is one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I may be down here on this earth in this earthly vessel, but nevertheless, my house is the same as my heavenly Father's house. That's why he made the statement, when I leave here, I go to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Come on now, he ain't talking about big houses. The word mansion is translated in the Greek realms in God. There are realms in God that we have the ability to achieve in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But we have to recognize who we are.
Amen.
Amen. I love this part right here. And the Lord appeared, sweetheart, to Solomon. I used to teach that he saw God, but in actuality, he didn't. But God's word don't fall void. It says no man has ever seen God. So while I was preaching that he saw God, it was a self-interpretation. It wasn't an interpretation of God. We do make mistakes. But that's why we study to show ourselves approved. Because God will evidently teach us and show us the truth.
Amen.
And the Lord appeared. Look at your neighbor and say, appear. Look at somebody on the other side of you and say, He appeared. Amen. The Lord appeared. Listen to this. What it's talking about, the word appeared, means that what he actually recognized or what he heard was God speaking out of his nature and who he was in his character. He appeared to Solomon by night. There was a reason he came by night. A lot of times God does things in the evening or in the late hours because that's when we are the quietest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pastor Art had this saying. I didn't agree with it, but he said it anyway. We used to have prayer meeting around here at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. And I didn't like it one bit. But it didn't matter what I didn't like. I never missed. His reason for that was, at 5 o'clock in the morning, ain't no devil stirring. But he said, we pray early. We pray before the devils get to stirring. But what we eventually found out is that he don't sleep either. So I decided if he's still stirring at 5 o'clock, then there ain't no need to have prayer meeting at 5 o'clock. Let's do 9. But you need to, I'm getting off track here, but you need to show up. You need to take time out your busy schedule on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and come to this prayer meeting and pray.
Amen.
Well, Algie can no longer do it. Reverend Paulette is now handling the prayer meeting on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
If you come, I have no doubt that if you need prayer, you can get it.
Amen.
Amen.
Because this is what? The house of God.
Amen.
My goodness. Ooh. Amen. Oh, stop now. You know what I'm saying? Tell the truth, shame the devil. We're going to tell the truth and shame some flesh. Because he ain't shamed about nothing he does. And nothing you do either. We lose words. What, Flip Wilson, I'm getting like Pastor Keys. Loose lips do what? You better make sure your ship don't sink. You better make sure what you say is can be backed up by the word of God.
Amen.
If it can't be backed up by the word of God, don't say it.
Amen.
That's the new word. That's how he affected. He pushed forward. He possibly affected. He pushed forward that which God had already called him to do. And it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said, so Sherry says, say it. That's the way Missourians say it. The word said means to declare. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Now, if you studied this scripture, if you studied this part of the book, you understand that this God answered this prayer wasn't at the same time that they had built or he had finished the building of the house of God or the king's house. It was not the same time. It was actually 2 to 3 years later that God appeared unto him. What am I saying? Sometimes God not going to answer your prayer at the very moment of that prayer. But if you hold on and you keep building the house of God, which you are, keep preparing the house of God, which you are, keep establishing this word of God in your life, the house of God, which you are, God will evidently and most assuredly answer your prayer. And this is what I found out that tickled me so much. Sometimes he answers your prayer and it's in the form of a person.
Yeah.
All right. Now, ain't that something? Somebody comes along in your life and establishes a bond with you. A bond that strengthens you. A bond that will encourage you. A bond that will uplift you. And you going through all kinds of strife and trouble and affliction, but they have the ability to lift you up with a hug or with a smile or with a handshake. God's trying to establish something else. God spoke, so he said, God appeared to Solomon by night. And he said unto him, he declared unto him. Look here, Solomon.
Come on now.
I heard you. I heard your intercession. I heard your prayer. A lot of times we pray and we wonder if God heard. You ain't never prayed in your life that God ain't heard your prayer. You better ask somebody. Just because the answer don't come right away don't mean he didn't hear it.
Say that. Say that.
There is a strong possibility that you're not ready for him to answer that prayer.
Yeah.
If God had answered some of my prayers that I prayed, I wouldn't be here today. Especially if he had answered them when I prayed them. Indeed. You wouldn't either, huh? And a lot of other folks wouldn't be here either. Because of my prayer.
Chew on that one.
I mean, remember Pastor how I used to pray? I tried to get him out of my head, but that picture up there, you can't get that out your head. And a lot of his teachings that were very, what? Effective. That's hard to get up in a heartbeat and pray God kill you. Think I'm playing? I was with him down front when he was praying for people. And I heard him pray this prayer, word for word. Father, Jesus, if they don't stop drinking, kill them. And he was serious about it, and he was actually standing on faith, and it scared the heck out of you because you know he had that type, he had the gift of faith.
Amen.
You know how many times I heard him say that? And he never took it back. He scared some folks so bad, Brother Johnny, they stopped. Folks just stop. Father, I talked to his mother. If he don't stop using crack, you kill him. I said, oh my goodness. He killing folks. Reason I said he killing folks because I knew the type of faith he had. He believed what he was praying. So you thought tonight you know what I meant by prayer. But nevertheless, God said, I heard your prayer. And because I've heard your prayer, when you were doing all that work, when you were establishing your covenant with me in the house of God and in the king's house, when you were doing that, I decided that I liked the way the people of God had come together. So I selected this place.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
To myself.
Mm.
What he said. Mm. I've taken this place and made it mine.
Yeah.
How many want God to make you his?
Yeah. Amen.
And how many want to hear him say?
Yeah.
I selected. I like what I see. Because God will do what? He will inhabit the praise of a people. I have chosen, selected this place. Now, if you look at the word place, there's several translations in the Hebrew, but the one that actually goes with this scripture says it is a spot, or here we go, it is a condition of the body or the mind. I have searched the intents of your heart or your spirit, and I have found out that you are the man or the woman of God that I have chosen or selected you to be. And because you have done that, I have decided that this place is my place.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And it is the house of what? Sacrifice. My brother, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present or yield or offer yourself as living sacrifices. As living sacrifices. If you do, folks say, well, that's Old Testament. No, it's Old Testament. It's an example of what God is doing in the epistles. What he's doing for us now.
Amen.
Right. Amen. God said, I've chosen, I've selected this place. Not just this place, a condition which you are in, but I've also chosen this place and this particular, it also is translated, season.
Mm.
I've chosen this season. If I, nobody else, if I shut up heaven. The word shut in the Greek Hebrew means to enclose or to hold back. It has to deal with the clouds and that which encircles the clouds, even that above the clouds. If I shut up heaven, that it never rains. Notice how in different countries, cities, states like Texas and Arizona, different places, it doesn't rain a lot. But guess what people have been doing? They have adjusted to that type of living. I went to Texas once. I stayed in the house during the day and went outside at night. Because it was 100-something degrees during the day and more. Well, the people that lived there didn't see nothing wrong with going out during the day when the temperature was 110 degrees. Why? Because they had adjusted to that season, to that condition. I'm telling you, don't you ever adjust yourself to the condition that you're living in.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Because if you adjust yourself and allow the condition that you're in now, if it doesn't align itself with the word of God, it will be a stumbling block unto you. Amen. There's always something more in God that we have the ability to ascertain to. Amen. Or to strive for. I strive for the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. The prize is not a gift. The prize is not the anointing. The prize is a different type of character and a different type of nature. That's the prize. Oh my goodness. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locust. Everybody know what locusts do. Farmers can stand locusts. I've watched the History Channel and I've seen what locusts do to cornfields and crops. Locusts are so many that they stop the sun from shining and hitting the earth when they show up. And when they stop making their noise, you can be assured you have no more crop. To devour the land. Then God said, if I send pestilence among my people. Now listen to me now. He said, if I send pestilence among my people, don't think you ain't going to go through some stuff. Well, scripture says God don't afflict nobody. Well, we preach God don't afflict nobody. He doesn't, but he will have the uncanny ability to look the other way. Especially if you done testify, I'm Holy Ghost baptized, Holy Ghost filled on fire for God and all that other kind of stuff. Your testimony gonna come back to haunt you. So when you say it, you better make sure it's a reality. If I send pestilence among or amidst or in the center of my people, don't matter, he said, because if not, are you guys?
Yes, I am.
Let me ask you this question. How, if I gave every one of you a piece of paper and a pen, and I asked you to write down, how do you know that you're his? What would you write? If my people, what would you write to establish the fact that you are his people or his person? You ever ask yourself that? It's important that you know, because that's the only way you'll get saved. If my people, which are what? Called, chosen, picked, separated, sanctified by my name. Here's the catch. Here's where the kicker is. When you talk about name, there's a translation for the word name in the Hebrew that comes about, and it means character, nature, disposition. So if all this heck stuff is going on in your life, can you say that I belong to God? That you are called, chosen, selected, set apart, sanctified by his character and his nature, because that's the character and nature that you manifest.
That's right.
Not the one you talk about, but the one you manifest.
Yeah.
Amen. What is the name? What's the character? What's the nature of the character of God? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. What? What? That's the character and the nature of God. In spite of circumstance, in spite of condition, in spite of problems. Can God call you his when it seems like all hell is breaking the loose ground and in your life? Shall do what? Shall humble himself. That means you don't get mad at God. Because you're sick. They had to strap Mother Watkins down. She just has major surgery. They decided they might as well just let her go because they couldn't stop her from running up and down the hallway. I talked to Dad all the time. He said, she ain't here. She up and down the hall. I said, ain't she supposed to be in bed? Yeah, but she up and down the hall. She knows who she is.
Amen.
Folks catch cold, stay home, not because they worried about infecting other folks, but because they sick. Because Maxwell's sitting in the back. I don't know what she's going through. Because she knows who she is.
Yes. Amen.
Baby, you better know you've been selected and set apart by his character and by his nature, because that's what's in your life.
Yeah.
Or when the bottom drops out, Sister Michelle, I asked him, I said, what's that noise? I didn't know. It was her breathing. I know it was her machine, but they called it apparatus. After I found out that's what it was, I didn't think about it no more. I said, heck, she here. What am I saying? God said, I called you, I selected you, so why can't you act like it?
Come on now. Say
that. Oh, they humble themselves. That's the part of humbling yourself. That's the part where you say, well, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. Talking about pestilence, talking about the plague, and when we talk about name, we talk about honor, authority, character. Mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. Everybody ain't trying to do that. We just want to do enough, get by. I got news for you. Your get by gonna be goodbye. Want me to say it again, Mr. Rob? I'm gonna say it again. I'm going to say it a little louder this time. Your get by is going to be goodbye. Because you're playing with God and deceiving yourself. If my people will humble themselves, when it says themselves, that means you got to take your flesh, your ideas, your principles, your thoughts, and bring them under subjection to what the Word of God tells you.
Right.
But there's a problem. If you don't have the Word of God in you, you can't hear what He is telling you.
Amen.
I feel that one bouncing around. Catch that for me when you speak. You got to humble yourself. And do what? Pray. Is they pray? P R what? A Y. Okay. Pray. Listen to me. Humbling has to do with the effect of you getting on your knees and submitting yourself to a power that is greater than yourself. What power will you have there? What will you admit is greater than you? Nothing but God. You sure ain't gonna say no man is greater than you. I don't care how much money he got or how smart he is or who they are, you're not going to admit that. About to close on this right now. We'll finish it.
Amen.
He said, pray. The word pray here in the Hebrew, I'm not going to give you the Hebrew word for it because I might say it wrong. But what it means, now listen closely, you got your pens, you better write it down. If you write your Bible, write it next to it because it don't mean what you think it means. It don't mean that you're opening up your mouth talking to God. The word pray in the Hebrew in this particular verse, in this sentence, means to judge yourself.
Woo!
humble yourself, now you have to do what? Judge yourself. You know what Satan's not doing? Judging themselves, because we're doing this. We got this covered.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's some awesome sauce. You will never seek the face of God. The word face is translated presence or countenance. Countenance speaks of what the nature and the character of God actually looks like in a human being. You will never seek my face, he's saying, if you don't judge yourselves after you have humbled yourself. What do you mean? Well, say for instance, me and Pastor Rutherford, we get into it. Now, you know I'm not going to say I was wrong. Pastor Rutherford was wrong. Wrong is two left shoes. I've seen some of y'all wear two left shoes, so don't laugh. And wonder why your feet hurt. I humble myself because the word of God says, go to them which you think have ought against you. That's humble. Because now you're saying to yourself, I know he was wrong, but if I do what the word of God says, I got to go to him anyway.
Yes. Yes.
I'm humbling myself.
Yes.
Then I judge myself by saying, I'm going to do what the word of God says. If I don't, would I be wrong? Would I be wrong not to do it? Or would he be wrong not to come to me? I say to myself, well, I already know he's not going to come to me because he don't think he did wrong. So I decide, I humble myself, I judge my flesh, and I go to him and say, Rev, forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess what happens?
Yes.
God's quickens his spirit. He says, you know, you forgive me. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Guess what just happened? We brought the body of God back together.
Amen. Come on,
reconciliation.
Yeah.
Church ain't doing that, and God knows.
Amen. Amen.
That's why he goes on to say, turn. God's word ain't no joke. He interpreted himself. He says, humble yourselves. Judge yourself. And then seek my face. Seek after my presence. My countenance. Oh, my goodness. And then retreat.
Yeah.
The word return means, the term means to retreat.
Yeah.
Retreat. You ever watch the army movies? I'm closing. The army movies, the soldier movies, any kind of, when they get in the war and they find out that they're overwhelmed, what if some, they blow a horn or they holler, retreat! Let's get the heck out of here because we about to get run over. You humbled yourself, you done judged yourself, and you done sought the countenance or the character of God in yourself. Now you have to retreat from yourself. I've had to do it lots of times.
Come on now.
Retreat from your flesh. Don't run from men, but retreat from you.
Right.
Because if you don't know, I know what I'm capable of. Mm-hmm. Retreat from or out of their what?
Wicked ways.
Say that loud.
Wicked ways.
Say it loud.
Wicked ways.
Say it louder.
Wicked ways.
Wicked ways. Ain't none of us got wicked ways in here. Oh, my God. Which means ruah. So I can say that one. Ruah in the Hebrew, which means this. Your interests, ways. injuring people, wounding them. If you don't humble yourself, if you don't judge yourself, if you don't search out God's countenance in yourself and retreat from yourself, you will never recognize that you are causing folks to bleed. I'm going to stop there. You will never understand that you are causing people to bleed out because you have wounded them. When it says ways, it's translated path or ideas. You have to retreat from your path or your ideas that are injurious, not just to your others, but to you too. But I got news for you. If you injure you, you must certainly go injure somebody else.
Right.
For some strange reason, Holy Ghost filled, born again believers, tongue talkers, shouters are in the business of wounding each other. Because they have come to the conclusion that they are all vets. And a bag of Lays. You just can't have one. Where is that scripture that says, "For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people"? You know why you're peculiar? Because you have the ability to humble yourself and judge yourself and search out the face of God, the countenance of God, and clean yourself up and retreat from those ways and ideas in the past that are injurious to others and yourself. I don't think I've ever said this. When it says you are a chosen generation, you know what that means? Chosen generation means that you are a chosen race of people. Don't get mad at me now. I'm going to tell you the truth. You are a chosen race of people. That means in that particular scripture is that God set you apart and called you. So you're not white, Russell. I'm not black. You're not whatever they call us now. You're not Negro. African American. Robbie, you're not Caucasian. But what we are called and set apart by God.
That's right.
We're a separated people.
Amen.
The problem is, church folks can't see that there is a difference. I'm closing my box because I keep going. Amen. Everyone stand. Pray all the time. Lord, change me. Help me to change myself. Because see, God ain't going to come down and do you like this, flip-flop. When it talks about the potter working with the clay, it's talking about you using the word of God to work yourself.
Amen.
Can you imagine what's going to happen when the church finally wakes up and realizes that we are a chosen generation set apart by God? And we put all our indifferences aside and we come together and worship in spirit and in truth and in one mind and on one accord. Guess what we gonna see happen? The upper room.
Glory.
Listen to me. Don't get it twisted. When they was up there, everybody spoke their different languages. But the problem was when the fire fell into place, the anointing of God caused me to be able to understand what the Arab was saying. The Arab understood what the Greek was saying. The Greek understood what the Israelite was saying. Even though they were all speaking in different tongues, Everybody understood what they were saying because the illumination and the power of God caused them to be one. There are times when I'm around people that don't speak English. And at times, it's like I almost know what they're saying. That's scary. Sometimes they look at me, Sister Di, because I'll be around and they'll go, you better stop talking about folks. And they'll look at me. And I say to myself, you better stop. We're going to wake up one morning and realize who we actually
Amen.
Are.
Amen.
Even as I instructed Solomon on building the house, I have built another house. I've gone away and prepared a place that all may come and be in. And the house is finished. And many dwell in that house. And I have caused them to come together according to my direction and according to my will and according to my desire. For it is my desire that I might have many sons in the body. And I am the head of that body, and I lead by my power and by my will and by my word and by my authority. And the manifestation that was in the former house, it shall not compare to the one in the latter house. This is the latter house today, and I have a living vessel. It was built with bricks and stones. I am mortal, but I have a living vessel. And I flow within my living vessel. And I cause them to come together and move. And they shall not break rank, but my leadership and my power shall guide them to all the truth. That they know who they are and what they're all about. And they know my purpose. And my purpose shall be carried out. For that is why I came. I came to save and to seek those that were lost. To cause them to form together. Under my power and in me. And I in them. And we shall overcome all things. All things shall be placed under my feet. For I am the Lord your God. And I have called you together to work with me. Ye are my workmanship. Ye are my workers together. And we shall go forth. And we shall overcome all things. First we shall overcome ourselves. And we shall go forth. And we shall do those things. We shall pull down the strong plough. We shall make the high places low and the low place high. We shall build. And we shall overcome. And the lost shall be saved. And the captive shall be made free. For I am the Lord your God. And I'm a merciful God. I'm an all-powerful God. I'm a mighty God. I'm a deliverer. I'm a sanctifier. I'm an emancipator. And I shall do all of these things. I shall use you. I shall use you together. You shall be linked up according to my body. You shall be linked up joint to joint. Every joint shall supply according to my word. Every joint shall feed every other joint. So the word shall come from many places. And I, because I, the Lord God, am in them all. And I direct them all, saith the Lord God.
Hallelujah. 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 Listen to this. How many know who Jesus came to the earth for? Who did he come for? Jesus came to the earth for the Jews. He didn't come for you. He came for the Jews. But you know what? God is so versatile. He recognized, listen to me, he recognized that 99% of the people that were following Jesus around were Gentiles.
Amen.
the Jews had flat out rejected him.
Right, right.
So he sent Paul. He saved Paul on the road to Damascus and sent him to the Gentiles.
Right.
Now, the body of Christ consists of 90% Gentile and 10% Jew. God don't make no mistakes. Do I have scripture to back that up? I do, but I don't have time to go into it right now. Maybe we'll deal with it next week. Everything you preach or say, you better have scripture to back it up. And you better know what that scripture entails and what it means and what it represents. Or you're wasting your time. You know why so many people ain't saved today? Because we've said things that we couldn't back it up with the scripture. Better get in your Bibles. Amen. Everybody take somebody by the hand. This week, see how God works. I've been praying. First lady, I've been praying. We've been praying about my allergies. And because they have been trying to rule my life. They have been trying to tell me where I can go, who I can be around. That's allergy. I have allowed it to become a person in my life. And it has been trying to dictate to me how I live. So I've been praying, Lord, whatever it is, you need to show me. So I had to go do, we call that allergy test. So, you know, they get you in there and then they take the first thing they do is take the little plastic things with the different stuff on them and they prick your skin. Well, immediately, I had a reaction. And they were afraid I was going to go into shock. I can't say that word. Anaphylactic shock. They found out immediately what I was allergic to. So I asked the girl, I says, where does it come from? How long? She said, sir, Mr. Gardner, it starts in April. And it don't end until the first snow. I said, you've got to be kidding me. You're joking, right? April to the first snow? Don't get it twisted, though. I ain't looking for no snow. You by yourself, right? Not looking for it. But see, you would say that's crazy. But I think that's a blessing in itself. Because I found out immediately what I've been dealing with. Dust or mold that's in furnace systems. Because I want to know why whenever I'm in a bowling alley, must I go completely crazy. First lady's giving me tissue, it's embarrassing because I have to cough up stuff, spit, nose is running, just miserable. Don't nobody want to be like that. God answered my prayer. Most folks wouldn't think so, but I think he did because right off the bat, he showed me what I've been dealing with. Make sure when you ask God for something, you want to know for sure.
Yeah.
Amen. We are the people of God. It doesn't matter what condition we're in, what we're going through, what we think. Because God said, if my people, which are called, chosen, according to my character, my nature. Amen. And will do what? They will humble themselves and pray. Judge thyself and turn, retreat from their injurious attitude. We ain't going to admit to none of that. We're going to pray about it anyway. Amen. I admit it. I'll take responsibility. I know there are folks I have hurt. And a lot of times we don't do it purposely. It just happens. Amen. We're going to pray this morning. And we're going to pray that God's going to show us through his word how we can make this transition into the place that he wants us in. Amen. That's Pastor Keith.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first we give you the praise. We give you the honor for the word, Lord God, our instruction, Lord God. Lord God, our instruction and our reproof and our correction, Lord God. We thank you for the correction of the word of God, Lord God. Lord, it helps us stay upright, Lord God. It helps us to continue to move forward, Lord God, in your ways and in your truth and in your life. Lord God, I ask that you forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us all the transgressions that we have done, Lord God, whether we sinned them, whether we thought them, or we've done them, Lord God. Father God, forgive us those things, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you for that new start, Lord God. You gave them a new start, Lord God. And you shall give us a new start, Lord God. And we shall go forward, Lord God. And we thank you for that opportunity. Lord God, we thank you for the word of God, Lord God, which instructs us and keeps us, Lord God. You said a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Lord God, help us to stay righteous, Lord God. And this instruction shall come automatically, Lord God. We thank you right now that we are that body of believers that you have called out and sanctified and set apart, Lord God, for your use, Lord God. Ah, Lord God, let us have a mind to come together, Lord God, as one, Lord God, one man in Christ Jesus, Lord God, moving and in the earth, Lord God, according to your design and according to your direction, Lord God. Lord God, we bind up everything that is not like you, that would seek to hinder our path, Lord God, to coming together, Lord God, and doing your work in love, Lord God, according to your will and according to your way. Lord God, I ask the manifold blessing upon your people, Lord God. Lord God, as we strive to do your word, Lord God, as we push toward that mark, Lord God, which is your nature and your character, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for the application of your word, Lord God. Ah, that soothing balm of the word, Lord God. Ah, but it cuts it, but it heals, Lord God. Ah, and it makes it right, Lord God, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You may go home. Amen.